Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine.
Good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am Brother Mike, your host this evening, and it is a pleasure to be here once again with you this week here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. We have Pastor Steve Lee here with us, and he is going to be bringing part two of God is Able. So as always, I do encourage you, if you are listening, please grab a pen, paper, notebook, whatever you may have, and take notes. Also, if you would like to participate in the chat room or at the end of the teaching, you can do so by pressing option 1 now, and that way we will know if you have any commentary that you want to provide after the teaching is over with. Now, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Well, brothers and sisters, let's just go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, that healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake unto righteousness and slumber no more as we walk in the Spirit from glory to glory, from faith to faith. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. We're talking about God being able. And when we say this statement, it's been heard all around the world. And there's no doubt that the power of these words, but sometimes just saying powerful statements does not bring victory into our lives or even change our situation. Action is required. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. That's what James chapter 2, verse 17 says. And in the Amplified, it says, what is the benefit, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? Can that kind of faith save him? No. A mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works. If a brother or sister be without adequate clothing and lacks food for each day, and one of you say, go in peace with my blessing, keep warm, feed yourselves, and does not give him the necessities for the body, what good does that do? So then, if faith does not have works to back it up, it is by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective. Faith that is alive is active and brings results. It brings salvation or deliverance. So we kind of want to review in Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 6 and following. It asks us some questions. The Apostle Paul, who had to come out of a different mindset. I mean, and that's what we're doing today. We're trying to give you information to bring you out of a mindset that allows you to stay in victory, saying or calling it faith. You know, and this is not a position of judgment. You know, because I know so much and you know so little. No, this is us trying to get faith in the earth so that when Jesus comes back, he will find faith working in the earth. You know, Jesus is not coming back for a church that has wrinkles, okay? Let me just help you out in the natural even. Worry lines produce wrinkles, okay? So then if the body of Christ is living in worry and fear. No, Jesus is not coming back for that church because we're supposed to be as he is, so are we in this world. We're supposed to make sure that all of the enemies, he's not coming back until his enemies are put under his footstool. And here's the one that really blows my mind sometimes. It says, and the last enemy shall be put under his foot is death. So, y'all, we got a lot of stuff to really reconsider and walk out in the spirit here. See, because we're going to have to begin to do greater works. That's what he said we would do. We're supposed to do greater works than he did, okay, because he has sent us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works with us to bring to pass the perfect will of God. See, we've got to decide that now is the time to grow up. See, now is that accepted time of salvation. And we don't have to do it. Unfortunately, I believe that we try to
help God by doing it from a position that displayed power because of whose we are. And I get that concept. But I always go back to this reference. Peter believed God and got to the place where he can fellowship with Jesus and walk in victory. And Peter was simply walking down the street, going to the store to get bread, and people were being healed because his shadow came over them. He was not going around in the name of Jesus healing. He was walking down the street. Power was evident, because it was really alive on the inside of him. It was not something that was coerced. See, and a lot of times what we have done is we've tried to manufacture the blessing of God instead of simply living in it. See, and we need to get to the place where it overflows, it overtakes, okay? We want to do that. And if we don't think differently, then we'll never do that. We'll still live under circumstances. We're not supposed to be under circumstances. I can understand you going through circumstances, got that, but you shouldn't be going through circumstances for the rest of your life. You should enjoy the rest of the Lord. We were called into that place of rest. See, there remaineth therefore a rest for the children of God, not just when we get to heaven. I really believe there should be some steak on my plate, some ham where I am. Again, as he is, so are we. It didn't say, as he was, so we will be. You see, I mean, let's listen at the verbiage that the word gives us. See, we're supposed to be more than conquerors. To me, when I look at that, I don't see one that's more than a conqueror continuing in the same battle for 20 years. Technically, I found out that since every word of God is tried seven ways, then it should probably only take me 7 days to get out of whatever that situation is, because I should have at least tried one of those ways each of those days, and I would have come to the place of victory. Say, we just got to get to the place where we really allow the God that we are connected to be God. He's looking. He's the one that said he's looking over the whole earth to show himself strong. He didn't say just to show up. But when he shows up, he's going to show up and show himself strong. Get that. But some of the things that we have been having habitual battles with, you know, y'all, we've got to get to the place where we say, no, this is it, no further. You know, I hear scriptures all the time, as it says in Revelations 11, 12, it says that we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, word of our testimony. So then what I see as our problem is sometimes when we don't want to forgive, when we don't want to release, I would submit to you that we have not put the blood of Jesus on that issue. Because when you put the blood of Jesus on that issue, forgiveness is easy. Forgiveness is automatic now. Because I'll see by that same blood that I'm required to release them by, I will see how he forgave me. Because I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. When I do it that way, notice my conversation changes. When I put the blood on it, my conversation changes. I have a testimony, not just a test. Glory to God. See, we keep going through the test, and you got to look at it. If you're going to have the test, go ahead and get the money. Go ahead to the next phase. Don't always be caught up in the test. Get the money. Go to the end of the thing. Because he gave us the ability to overcome. He didn't give us just the ability, beloved, to go through. He gave us the ability to overcome, to be more than a conqueror. See? And I say these things not from a position of condemnation, but rather expectation. Because sometimes, because we've been trained this way, because this is just the way everybody else said it. I only quote what the Bible says. Okay? If he always causes me to triumph, that did not say he always causes me to go through trials. In fact, trials, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I'm the one that's overcome. And because I have overcome, you will overcome. You have overcome. I guess, see, this is what I'm saying. We say God is able, but we don't engage in that. We're saying, I hope God will be able, and I'll hold on until his ability kicks in. No, then Jesus would have to change what he said on the cross when he said those last words, it is finished. I don't know why we hear he's still working on it. No, he told you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has expectation until all of his enemies would be put under his feet. So then if you're not assisting in bringing things under subjection, he can't come back. Again, he's not coming back for a body that is wrinkled with stress, that is still dabbling in unforgiveness, any sin. All right, it doesn't make a difference. Anything that does not profess or walk in holiness. See? We're supposed to be able to invite people into this life because they see the goodness of the Lord. That's what leads people to repentance. Help me. It's not the frustration caused by the Lord because I haven't experienced victory because I'm still waiting on God, who is able, but ain't nothing happened in the last 20 years. See, frustration is not the thing that should draw them unto repentance. It should be because God is just so good. They can see the display of his goodness. They will even see in you good works, and it will change their conversation. They will glorify God. It said men would see your good works, and they would glorify God or have a different conversation. See, the questions that the conversations that they probably are having now is, I thought you said God could do anything but fail. I'm just looking at it the way it is, y'all. Because we don't offer testimonies. We just confess the test. See? And then rejoice in the enduring power of God. And I get that. We were trained that way. See? We were trained to just hold on. No, he wanted us to overcome, not hold on. Okay? He that endureth to the end is not means he that holds on to the last minute. That's not what that means. What that is speaking of is the one that knows how to walk in the victory that's already been won by him and walks consistently in that, enduring test and trial because he has victory over test and trial. See, we kind of have looked at some things backwards in our thinking because of the training. And again, I can understand some of the reasons why, you know, because it looked like every enemy was against us at the same time. And so then we didn't know how to battle effectively. You're right here in the book of Romans. I said chapter 10, and I'm going there, but just turn over a couple of pages to chapter 8. And I just love the way Paul wrote some of these things. And these are very familiar passages of scripture, starting at verse, I'm going to start at verse 28 just for time. And it says, and we know something. Did it say we guessing? Did it say we hoping? It says this is something that should be practiced. It should be walked out every day because you know it. When you are trying to get from point A to your house, you don't guess about how to get home. You go from there to there. You might use landmarks to know to turn left, to turn right, to keep straight. You might use whatever's necessary for you to get there, but you know how to get home. You particularly know how to get home after you've done it multiple times. And Paul is speaking from that position because things of faith should not be questions to you. Things of faith should be an automatic because that's where you live. See? You live in the position of a heart that's going to please God. Because without faith, he's not going to be pleased. So then I just ask the question, if you are still attempting to do something that you've been attempting for the last 20 years, I don't know that that's pleasing because faith overcomes. And this is the victory that overcomes even our faith. He didn't say, and this is the trying that you will endure even your faith. He said it's supposed to be victory. See, it's supposed to come. The things that concern you, they have an end. They should not be going on for 20 years. And if it is going on for an extended period of time, then you should say, okay, Father, let me go back. Because you said these are light afflictions, and you said these afflictions last but for a moment. To me, 20 years inside of a trial does not sound like a moment, okay? So then that would just tell me, okay, somewhere I detached myself from the faith that you deposited on the inside of me. I allowed fatigue to make me stay where I was, not where I was called, okay? Because he's called you unto peace. He's called you unto victory. He didn't call you unto trials. He stated that you would have them, but if you find yourself in the trial, James says it, count it all joy when you enter into diverse temptations, tests, and trials, knowing something. Again, it's about what you know, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have a perfect work with you, that you may be entire, wanting nothing. Help me. It didn't say that you would be strengthened so that you can stay on that same test for the next 25 years. Okay. We kind of didn't divide the word accurately. We didn't divide it rightly. It was divided. The word, when it's divided rightly, will strengthen you unto victory. If you just divide the word, dilute the word, use only this little bit of the word, then you won't end up in victory. Because we are the ones that have been invited into the whole counsel of God. Glory to God. I mean, there is so much word that he has made available to you that victory is guaranteed. See, we don't even have an option. The devil doesn't have enough trials to keep you away from victory. He can't, because God knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits and no restraints. Okay? So then we've got to get to the place where we start thinking like this. That's why he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Come on now, y'all. If you let this mind be in you, you cannot have more pressure on you than Jesus had on him. Because he had on him the salvation of the whole world. You don't have that on you. And with that mind, he still brought all things in subjection unto him. See? So activate that mind. See? Go to the word and start from there. I'm not ever trying to get you to get a victory, beloved. Jesus already gave that to you. He always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. Okay? So we've got to look at it just a little bit different. And we know, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know all things work together for the good. And we know this. Okay, see, I hear that, and a lot of times people will say that. Unfortunately, they will say that in a religious position. And religion doesn't work, beloved. Religion will hold you. Actually, that's what it means. It means to bind. The word religion means to bind. So it will hold you right where you are. Righteousness causes you to move. Glory to God. Yeah, we'll see that in chapter 10 in just a minute. Righteousness causes you to move. Religion is going to bind you. And if you find yourself in a trial for 20 years, I would submit to you, you've probably been trying to get that thing answered through a religious mindset. Okay? And again, you don't have to get mad at me. This is your life we're talking about. If you want to experience victory, let's stop practicing religious thinking and let's practice the relationship that faith brought you into. Because faith brings you into a relationship that always brings victory. Always, not sometimes, always. Okay? So here we go. And we know all things work together for good. Ooh, see, I can't get past some of this because it's probably not good that I cannot display the testimony that his word said I have for the last 20 years. You've been dealing with that forever. No, I suppose I'm dealing with this staying here. I'm supposed to be dealing with it for good because it's working together. It looks like right now that thing just working on your nerves. It don't look like it's working together. It don't look like it's working together for your good. Look like it's working on it. You have lost years and hours and time. Okay? You have lost energy dealing with that thing that you should have put under your feet. I mean, come on, Romans chapter 16, verse 20 said, and the God of peace is going to bruise Satan under your heels, and then he put a time frame on it. He said shortly. Again, 20 years to me doesn't sound like shortly. Looks like I've been addressing this situation from a religious understanding. Say, so then I need to just go back and just look at the word and say, okay, good. This is not what Stevie said. The Holy Ghost does not bring to your remembrance what Stevie said. He brings to your remembrance what Jesus said unto you. Because Jesus is the one that said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If I've been going through the same thing for the last 20 years, somewhere I have not participated in abundance there. I mean, if I have abundance by accident, I will have more to cover that trial over 20 years, just by accident, if I have more than enough. Okay? But we, in our minds, just figure some kind of way, because these are things that the people told us that weren't scriptural in context. You can take things out of the Bible out of context, okay? Because it is true that God will not suffer you to be tempted. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. And will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That is 100% what the scripture says. And I understood that it was not something that's going to be there so that I can just be strengthened, but he will cause me to be able to bear it. The phrase bear it there also has the connotation that I would be able to move it, not just be under the pressure of it forever. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. If I haven't found the way of escape in 20 years, something's wrong with my understanding there. He didn't say, make a way for you to endure for 20 years. He said, make a way for that thing to be gone, that you may be able to bear it, carry it from one place to another. Get rid of it. Carry it out of the frustration into the victory. See? Because he always causes you to triumph. He doesn't expect us to continue to go through things without growth. That's not a loving father. The definition that we have for insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results. And if I've been doing the same thing for 20 years and expect different results, that would be insanity. He did not call me to insanity. He called me to victory. So that means I need to go back and rethink this thing so that I can walk through from wherever the problem was unto victory. God is able. And we know that all things work together for good. Come on, y'all. It works together for good. It didn't say it's going to work together forever. It's going to work together for good. If someone is cooking me something to eat, I don't have to wait forever to eat if it's going to do me any good. If I'm going to wait forever to eat, I'm probably going to be dead. I won't need to eat it. Amen. Isn't the Bible tells us in the 23rd Psalm that God is going to prepare a table before you in the very presence of your enemies? Why would he want to do that if he was going to make you keep on eating the same meal because you're going to never get victory? Come on, y'all. That doesn't sound loving. He's giving me strength so that I can overcome, not so that I can just endure. Okay? It has to be a little bit more than that. But a lot of times, we just figure that we have to sit down and bear it. See? But no, he's called you unto victory. Again, he is going to be seated until all his enemies are under his feet. And since you are the body of Christ, they have to be under your feet in order to be under his feet. He can't have trials and tribulations running in your body if he's going to get up and come back for the glorified body. Okay? I mean, we just got to think these things just to the next level, if you would. Just go back and say, wait a minute, why am I still going through this? And Jesus told me it was finished. See, I heard something today really shook me up. I hadn't thought about it. See, we're trying to get things done by faith that grace has already finished. That's why Jesus said it is finished. So anything that I need to have done in my life is going to be done by grace. Faith is for me to rest in the work that was done by grace. I mean, I know we haven't heard this much. Faith is the avenue where I can enter into that which was done by grace. Oh, my God. I'm trying to get back to this, y'all. Flip back over to chapter 5 in Romans. I'm coming back. I just, because a lot of these things we just don't see in front of us correctly. Okay? We just quote the scripture, but it really didn't connect to anything. That's why the Bible says that the way our life's supposed to be lived is here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. And then when we do that, he says that this is the rest that you would cause my people to rest, saith the Lord. See, this is the rest when you do it this way. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. If I'm going through a trial for 20 years, I don't know if I have peace with God. I might be a tad upset with God for 20 years of this same trial. I've seen people get upset for a week, okay? A week of no breakthrough, and they start dismissing the relationship through anger at God. Oh, you know, I know we ain't supposed to say stuff like that. We ain't supposed to think like that. I'm sorry, we do. We'll stop talking to, okay, come on now. Y'all know good and well. If God asks you to get up and seek his face and what you've been believing for hasn't happened, it's an interesting thing. You don't get up to seek his face. You'll give him one of those prayers on the way to work in the car, but you didn't get up to seek his face. See, you will. I pray. Where did you pray? On the way to work. I'm sorry. No, that doesn't count. You can almost say that's just praying so you don't get hurt driving. But you haven't sought his face. You don't have any new inspiration or information that would cause you to win. All you have is the same reservations that say, my God, he's going to make me do it by myself. See? So when you think like that, that tells me you don't have peace with God. See? Because when you have peace with God, then you have the confidence that the thing that you talk to him about, the things that he talked to you about, maybe that's the other side of it. We do too much time talking to God about what we want, but we didn't hear what he said to cause what we want to come to pass. It says that if you delight yourself in the Lord, then he will give you the desires of your heart. So if you don't have the desires of your heart, I would ask the question, have you delighted in him? Okay? I mean, see, we've got to get honest with this. See, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you. He didn't say he would make you work for, he would make you earn. He did not say that. He said you would then be given the desires of your heart. I mean, that just motivates me. So I get in and say, okay, God, I've been dealing with this, working on this, and ain't got no headway here. So I've got to go back to square one. Let me understand some things. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace. He said we have access because faith gives you the ability to go into the grace that gives you the victory. That's why I got that statement from. See? My faith is not going to make the victory happen. Grace has already given me the victory. Okay? I don't have to go fight for the victory in faith. Faith should be used from the position of rest. There remaineth, therefore, a rest for the children of God. But they did not enter into this rest because they were fighting. They did not mix faith with their thought processes. See? And looking at it, I can see my life having done those things. See? I didn't labor to enter into the rest. I just labored to make faith work because faith got to get this thing done. Grace has already done that. It is finished. We enter into a finished work. See? And then we have to allow our heart to believe that, receive that, operate from that position. God is able. See, but we have trained our thoughts and gone after thoughts that put us contrary to the very thing we want to have happen. And then we end up getting comfortable in not having results. See? I mean, if you recognize that you are more than a conqueror, then there is nothing that you don't think about you already won in. We have this kind of access into the grace wherein we stand. If I don't start in grace, if I'm not standing in grace, according to this scripture, my faith is not going to flow. See, I have to stand in the grace, stand in the finished work, and then utilize faith from that position of rest. See, I'm standing in that work. And then if I do that, watch what happens. Wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, look at how it works. Look at the flow of the syntax. That's also the flow of the Spirit. See? He said it that way on purpose. He says, I want you to have access to this grace. Stand in that. And then because of that, it will release glory. And glory is the thing that makes the difference. Hallelujah. See, You can't work glory. You get to enjoy glory, beloved. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to get you to see this. You get to enjoy. You've been crowned with glory. I don't have to work it. Glory works through me. Glory works for me. I don't work glory. But that's why we've seen people trying to, we can see that that's what they were doing, because they were trying to manipulate the word to get the word to do something. They were working the glory. No, glory just works. Again, Peter was walking down the street going to get some bread, and the glory was working. He was not quoting scripture, and in the name of Jesus, get up and I command you. No, he was walking down the street, and his shadow caused people that could connect to a person that understood how to walk in glory. That's what we're going to have to do in these days. These are the days that's going to require that. Because people have engaged with thinking and intellectual gymnastics, and so then they have no way to get back out of that arena of intellectual gymnastics and find that grace is the thing that was supposed to be utilized. Because it says, and of his grace we have received. The fullness of his grace. Come on, y'all. Have faith in God, or have the faith of God that works because grace empowered the faith. This is the grace that we've been invited to by faith. Okay? And not only so, then we glory in tribulations because we know something. We know that tribulation is employing patience, and impatience is employing experience, and experience is employing hope, and hope makes you not ashamed. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, and love never fails. So then please help me. If love never fails, why am I in this trial for 20 years? Possibly because I've approached it from a religious thought process. Okay? Go back to chapter 8. And Paul is, these are the thought patterns that are woven into this book. Okay? I mean, really, this is just one of those books you just ought to just, that's almost committed to memory, because you're going to need the things, the teachings, the understanding that flows out of this book in particular. Okay? Watch this. Try to get through here. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Is his purpose for you to go through something for 20 years? I probably not, because he said, and behold, I do a quick work in the earth. I'm sorry, y'all. Somebody help me. Again, 20 years don't sound like quick. He says, look into, behold, look, I do a quick work. He hastens his word to perform it. Okay? Jeremiah 1:12. He hastens it. See? It's the Father's good pleasure to give me the whole kingdom. If it was his good pleasure to give me the whole kingdom, why would he withhold it from me for 20 years? Well, that's not what he said. He says in Psalms 84:11, I will not withhold anything from those that walk uprightly. Not for those that's walling around in pity and hurting and shame. He says, I will not withhold anything from those that walk uprightly. Please, let's stand up. Let's begin to walk in the Spirit. That are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. For whom he also did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. This does not sound like a path to defeat to me. I've been called. I've been justified. I've been glorified. Come on, y'all. I just don't see a trail of defeat there. I've been told that success leaves clues. Failure does too. If you read it, at least you can see what you did wrong. See, but success leaves clues. And one that knows they're called, one that knows they're justified, one that knows they're glorified, then he asks a question. So because we know this, because we understand this, then what shall we say to these things? He's having the conversation from this perspective. So what shall we say to these things? Then the question says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I just don't see where I've got to sweat and beg and plead to get it. He said he will freely give me, and I love the word all, because I found out that all means all, and that's all it means. He will not freely give us all things. Then he says, well, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen, who is given, that who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Again, y'all, if he wanted me to fail, then why is Jesus' whole life about interceding for me? He ever liveth to make intercession. Help them, God. Strengthen them, God. Open their eyes, God. Why, if he wants me to fail, why is conversation taking place that's going to get me to the place of victory? See, when we think about it from a religious mindset, we come up with that kind of stuff. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, nay, in all these things. Stop, go back. He didn't say in one of these things. He said in all of these things. So if persecution was coming, if famine was coming, if distress was coming, and nakedness and peril of sword, if they were coming all at the same time, he said in all these things. He didn't say one at a time. Because your God knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraint. So then we should not be frustrated because of what we're going through. Jesus was able to endure because he knew that in all these things, that was the conversation that we were having that took me to this scripture. Because you have not gone through all these things, but you can, because the power of God, the glory of God that is revealed on the inside of us, will take you to that. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It didn't say, come on, y'all, please, please, please. It did not say there, through us who loved him. It said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What will separate you from the love of God? Nothing. But we give up on the love of God and separate ourselves. And we do it because one of these things is getting on our nerves. Not even all of them. One of them. They said something about me. They treated me some kind of way. Say, because I am, verse 38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, this is why I know God is able, because my point of reference starts right there. See? So that it doesn't do me, I don't mind whatever I'm going through, because I look at it from the lens of, okay, it still can't separate me from the love of God, and the love of God does not fail, so that I will be victorious in this. And it's not going to be long, because my reference is, if I would allow him, he will hasten his word to perform it. Okay? I will delight myself in him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous people run into it, and they are safe. It really doesn't matter then. If I'm in the tower, it doesn't matter how long the trial is, does it? Because I'm still safe. The devil ain't even got to me. I'm sitting down at the table eating in the very presence of my enemies. Amen. See? And as I'm eating, because Jesus said that if I open the door, he and the Father will come in and they will sup with me. And see, in the culture that Jesus was living in and talking to, supper was not just for gobbling food. It was for getting information and inspiration for your life. They sat down and they learned at the table. The Hebraic way of teaching was done at the table. It wasn't done at school. I'm sorry, that's just the way it was. It was done at the table because things were going to be passed down at the table because they're going to talk about all the things that God has done, all of the goodness of them. These are going to be their conversations. See, they weren't sitting at the table. They were not sitting at the table talking about President Trump. They were sitting at the table talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords. See? And so now, when they face tomorrow, they face tomorrow with victory because of what was on their mind. Because this is what the Bible says. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And here we are, conversations all about the economy, all about this and that and the other. Keep your mind stayed on him, and he will keep you in perfect peace. Glory to God. See? That's how you end up going from glory to glory instead of going from trial to trial, from frustration to frustration, because I talk about Jesus all the day long. I delight in your word. See, that's what they did at their table. See? So when he prepared the table, he was not going to talk about your enemies. He was going to talk about your deliverer. See? So then you can act the same way the four Hebrews boys act, because they understood that the food that the king wanted, come on, y'all, that the food that the king wanted him to eat and partake of, they said, no, we don't want to eat that food. We eat a different way. We eat a different bread. See? And because we eat this different bread, we have a different mindset. And know this, O king, we're not worried about what you say. Our God is able to deliver us. But even if he don't, we gonna still stand. And then Jesus came in the midst of that situation because their mind was still on him. And he kept them in fire that was seven times hotter. He kept them in perfect peace. They came out. There was no smell of fire on their clothes. And there was nothing singed upon them. And the people that took them into, threw them into fire, they died for that they can even get in there. And these people were walking around in the fire without being harmed. See, I mean, we got to look at this differently. What they were getting at the table is not what we're getting at the table. I guess it's because it's not what we bring to the table. Okay? Because as a man thinks in his heart, that's where you find the man. So if the man is frustrated and worried and in fear, then you will find the man frustrated, worried, and in fear. But if the man would allow the faith that God has already given unto every man, he shed the love abroad in your heart. If you would allow that to be the thing that you meditate on, then he will bring you to the place where what you are looking for can easily be done, readily be done, and it'll be done by him. Chapter 10. See, the things that we think about are going to come out of our mouth. And that's going to be the thing God is able to use. Jesus said, by your words are you justified. By your words are you condemned. See? So then he's waiting to use what you say for your victory. But if you won't say the things that will birth your victory, then you're going to keep enduring rather than enjoying. I'm trying to get you to the place where you will enjoy. He's given us all things richly to enjoy, not to endure. But if I'm not going to say what he says, agree with him in my heart, if I'm not going to do that, then I'm just going to go through. I'm going to endure. 20 years might be a short time if that's what you're going to do. Verse 6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend to the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, which we declare. He said, the righteousness which is of faith, don't say things that sound like doubt, unbelief, worry, and fear. They don't have that conversation. See? They have to have a different conversation if you want different results. See, now, if you're going to do the same thing and expect different results, that's insanity. You're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to talk different. Not rehearse, okay? I'm not asking you to parrot the word. That's not our faith. Does not come by parroting. Faith comes because a word is spoken and your spirit hears it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See? So when you allow your spirit man to hear, and your mind then goes in part, and your spirit man gives you the information that you need. But if you're still going to rehearse things in your mind, then you're going to have to live out of your mind. And believe me, that'll drive you out of your mind. It says, faith should speak on this wise. Do not say things out of doubt. Don't speak out of lack. Okay? Don't speak out of worry. The righteousness which is of faith does not do that. Okay? But it's in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we proclaim, which we preach, which we live. Because your preaching is not just your words, your preaching is done with your life. Your conversation, the Bible says, and that is your life. Okay? So then, if your life and your words don't align, you're not going to get this deliverance. If your heart and your words don't align, you're not going to get this deliverance. He said this deliverance, this faith, this righteousness that's speaking has to be in two places. It is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And that is the word which we live. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is where we stopped last week. Because he said that you, through what you say, you shape, you form your deliverance. So if I'm shaping my deliverance with words of doubt and worry and lack, then that's what I'm going to stay in because I'm shaping it. It says, for with the mouth, confession, what you say is made unto your deliverance. You will be delivered unto the place of your words. You might want to write that down. That was very good. You will always, by your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned. You will always be delivered to the place of your words. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that love whichever one you want, they shall eat the fruit of whichever one you want. You will always be delivered to the place of your words. Because the place of your words display the place of your heart. That is the word of faith which we speak, which is in your heart and in your mouth. God is able, but he needs our help, our participation. See? He doesn't need us to speak words that are contrary to his heart's position. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. They are thoughts that will bring you to an expected end. So when you take my thoughts and say my thoughts, you will get to my results for you. Because we know all things are now working together for the good of those that love God, for them that are called according to his purpose. Because you've taken the time to renew your mind. And as you renew your mind, the words that he says are going to be released out of your heart. And words that come out of your heart, that's what Jesus said, Mark 11:22. He says, I have the faith in God. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Why? Because those words are not coming out of his head. Those words are coming out of his heart. You're connected with God at a faith level that is alive in the spirit. You form your words. Salvation is made unto. I mean, confession is made unto salvation. Okay? When we place our heart there, we connect with God and we allow possibility. But when we don't connect with God with a live word, that's why Jesus said the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. When we connect with God where life is, come on, if you connect with God where life is, you'll be able to take life wherever you need it to be. Come on, because this life then you speak. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. See? That's why he asked you to do that. Participate. Guard your heart. Because if you don't guard your heart is going to spew out the garbage that you allowed in. You will always be found in the place of your words. See? So if you want to stop going through hell, stop talking about hell. Okay, when I say that, I mean stop talking about all of the things that you don't like in your life. Talk from the position of faith, because God has given to every man the measure of faith. See, Romans chapter 12, that's what he says. He says, I'm begging you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will then be able to prove what is the good, the perfect, and the acceptable will of God. Because God has given to every man the measure of faith. To do what? To prove what is the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God. But if you're going to prove that, then you're going to have to stop saying the things that mess up your life. You can't speak out of a mind that's not renewed. Tell that thing, shut up. See? Go put the word back in your mouth. That's why he told Joshua, look here, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein. For when you do that, you will observe to do all that's written therein. And then you shall make your way prosperous. You will do what? You will make your way prosperous, because your words will be in alignment with my word, and you will find good success. Have I not told you to be strong and of a good courage? As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. I mean, see, when you say what God says, you put yourself in the position that victory is guaranteed. See, God is able, but he's needing you to participate in the plan the way he wrote it down. Not the plan that you believe, you feel like this is what God wants you to do. Because you've been feeling that way for the last 20 years. And God has not changed, because he can't. He's the Lord our God, he changes not. That's why you're not consumed. Since he don't change, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you have not seen, come on. If he's the same, since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you have not seen the victory for the last 20 years, go back to him, because he's the same. He'll bring the deliverance. He's the one that will cause you to redeem time. See? Don't make no difference to him. The blessing is in the same place you left it. It didn't move. It is still alive, because the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. So it's in the exact same place you left it. When you departed from the word, he didn't change his mind. That promise is still yours. that inheritance is still yours. And if you would go back to that place and then change what you've been thinking, change what you've been saying, and allow his words to be upon your lips. And he said, I'll be with you. I'll not fail you. I'll not forsake you. And there will not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. I've given this for you to inherit, you and your seed's seed, and all the children of Israel. So in the last days, that's what the body of Christ needs to display. That's what the world is needing to see, that there is a God that is able, that's on my side, effectively working, because I have lined up my heart, I've lined up my words, I've lined up my life, and now that which I say, I shall have. Because my God honors his word in my mouth. He's looking for his word to be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my lips, be in my mouth. Be continually. But if I'm going to look at things and judge the things that I'm experiencing and making that experiential judgment be the revelation that I have of my God, that some kind of way, he doesn't want me to have this. He doesn't want me to win. Some kind of way, I just got to endure. So it would be wise for you to stop approaching things from an intellectual, religious mindset and go back and allow faith to come to your spirit so that your spirit can release words of faith that will form salvation, deliverance for you. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose, your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you again for your word that you sent to us to heal us and to deliver us. Thank you, Father, that we can go back to these same passages of scriptures and we can find life because you put life in your word. You hid my life in that word. And I thank you that as I go to that word, Father, I will then be able to receive the life that you put in it for me to enjoy, not for me to have to endure, not for me to have to fight for, but I can enter into the rest that faith is delivered from. That grace has already worked it out for me. And now my faith, which works because of that love and grace being alive, will bring to me victory. Thank you for that, sir. We commit it to you now. It's done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, let's go ahead and open up the lines. We're going to get commentary on tonight's teaching. Starting with area code 312-330. 312-330. You have the mic.
Okay, please, Sean. I just wanted to say that what you're preaching on now is definitely something we need to hear because we don't exactly understand how this all works, but it does work. Okay.
Yes, it does.
Right. Okay. I actually wrote down my notes. Last time I did not, and then my tongue got all tangled up. But I wrote down my notes. Okay. Mm-hmm. The first thing you were talking about, our relationship with God. And I remember when I first got born again, and I saw myself as the horrible person I was.
Sure. Sure.
And after I saw myself, I determined in myself that I was going to be so much better because that
right.
born again feeling, we all know that it's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, what I did, I had done something, and then I was walking down the street, and God just dropped something right in my spirit. And show me that what I had done was wrong.
Yeah.
I was a new born again Christian. And I thought, oh,
right.
Lord, are you going to kill me? Okay, because, again, I'm looking at all the things that I did in the past. And he said, no, he's not going to kill me. He told me this because he loved me, so I could repent for it.
Correct.
And we have the wrong picture of God. He is not some God coming out to beat us up, you know, for anything that he can, that we think that we condemn ourselves.
Correct. Yep.
And let me see. The next thing I wanted to say, because with that comes an intimacy, what God wants from us, the relationship that you're talking about, it's intimacy.
Correct.
You know,
that's correct.
We think that we can hide things from God.
Right.
We don't want to tell him those little dirty deeds that we did, as if somehow we believe that he doesn't know. Or either we're holding on to those dirty deeds as some kind of insurance for something that we think we might get to do. You know, the heart is so deceitfully wicked.
Above all things. Yep.
But when we actually start telling him and confessing to him the things that he reveals to us, that the Holy Ghost reveals to us, then that's when we start having a real relationship with God.
Correct.
So if we don't do that, we just don't go round and round that mountain over and over again. And let me see, there was one other thing that I wanted to say. Oh, I know what it was. I heard a preacher say a long time ago when I first got born again that people become so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. And it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Because whatever it was that we did so rigidly before, when we get in the church, we get 7 times more rigidly worse.
That's it.
Just a different hat. And that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to give it all to him, to give it all up, and get rid of self. Okay.
Let me just throw this here. When you said that what you did is you began to have all this introspection about all of the things that you did, and every time we do that, not led by the Spirit, not allowing a word to be alive on the inside of us, but rather inviting condemnation, there's no way to grow from that. That's why the Bible says very clearly, God did not send his son into the world to condemn. Didn't do it. See? But we don't take that. God's so upset with me because of what I did. He doesn't do that.
Right. That was the third day I was born again, and I thought I was on the right track. I wanted to be on the right track. But
you
want to
do it right. I get it.
The devil knows all of our haunts and sins and the things that we immodestly did before. Okay, he knows each and every one of us.
He talked us into
it. Well, when we get born again, we're babes.
Right.
We're babes.
Correct.
And
in blood.
Completely ignorant of the word. We have to learn the word. Right. But the devil still knows everything about us, and he'll trip us up, and that's his job.
That's what he's been doing for a long time.
he knows what he's doing. He's centuries.
That's
right.
Right. Yep.
And
you said, let me give you this word here, because it is intimacy, and I want to break it down phonetically for you. It's in to me see. God is asking you to look into him. It's into me see, intimacy.
Okay.
He doesn't ask you to look into your past. It's into me see. Okay? That's where your life comes from. It comes from him. It doesn't come because of your past. He covers up your past. Into me see, intimacy. All right? Amen.
I hear people say that somehow, there's a confusion. We are the body of Christ. the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
Paul so explicitly pointed out in all of his writings. We are the body of Christ. The bride of Christ is still Israel.
Sure.
God has never
sure.
changed his mind about
sure.
that.
I can see
but
that.
Somehow
see
he
that.
Did it all confused
sure.
and messed up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we are the body of the
yeah.
person.
And Israel is the bride. Yeah.
Mary
sure.
the bride, Israel. So we need
yeah.
to get
sure.
all this stuff out of our system. Okay. We need to be who we are in Christ. Okay. That's
right.
all I want to say. Thank you so much.
Again,
thank you
for
everything
listening.
Else
Amen.
That Amen. You added. Thank you. Love you. Bye-bye.
All right. Love you. Thank you. Amen. All right, Brother Mike.
Amen. Area code 470-418.
470-418. Okay. And again, we thank y'all for being on the call and just participating by being there. But again, this is a two-phase thing. It's the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So we're just giving you an opportunity to speak from the heart. And there is no wrong. There is no wrong or right. It's just allowing God to grow you up. Amen. All right, Brother Mike.
Amen. All right. Area code 312. Oh, we already. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay.
We already
okay.
had 312.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that looks like that's the end of our list of calls for tonight, Pastor Steve. Is
all
there
right.
anything else
no
that
problem.
You'd like to close out on?
No, just let's just wake up, awake to righteousness, which is what that was what he started with today, because we've been walking around sleep and not non-effective. Generally, people that are asleep are you can walk sleep, but you're not effective generally. So it's time for us to awake to righteousness so that we will be able to fulfill the call on our life, which is releasing healing and health of all spirit, soul, and body of those that are in the earth. It's kind of like our job. He told us to go and make disciples. So he didn't say make hurt people. He said make disciples. That was good. I never heard that before. Wow. So we got to get busy doing that. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, that does conclude our broadcast for tonight. If you have been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com, please sow a seed. If you would like to do so, you can go do that at www.livedeliverance.com. Now, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and bring it to a close. If it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone. Have a good night and have a blessed week.
Amen. Shalom.